Very clearly, the first reading from Isaiah, right at the beginning of Isaiah, and the gospel are once again linked, this time through the vineyard. And no, I'm not going to give you a homily this morning on the benefits and the qualities of good red wine. I'm not going to do that. Too easy. What I am going to talk to you about is perhaps a little bit more concentrated on St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, the second reading. But let's first get the first reading of the gospel into its context. In the reading from Isaiah, the vineyard is Israel. So this is written by the first author of Isaiah before the exile, before Jerusalem was destroyed. And so in a sense, it is a warning to Israel to clean up your act and improve your relationship with myself as God and with each other. In other words, renew and relive in a proper way the covenant that I have formed with you. I am your God, you are my people, he says. So get it together. When we come to the gospel, the vineyard is no longer the people of Israel. The vineyard is the heirs of the vineyard owner. In this case, in the story that's given to us in the parable, it's an analogy of God, Jesus, the church. This Matthew's gospel written about 40 years after Jesus' death. So they were primarily Jewish followers of Christ, not yet called Christian. And Matthew's community, trying their best to follow the teachings and the example of Christ, they struggled at times. There was no doubt about that. But Matthew is using the parable to highlight, in a sense, God's mission in the world through Jesus, his son. So when this audience, the first audience of Matthew's, heard these words, it was obvious that when it mentioned the son, that it was referring to Jesus. But in the parable, it says that the tenants thought that this was his only son. And then it says, and heir. So they seized him and they took him out of the vineyard. Jesus was taken when he was seized out of Jerusalem. And then they killed him, and Jesus was killed outside of Jerusalem. So they would have known clearly this is a reference to Jesus in the parable. The difference is that he wasn't the only heir. He's the heir as the Son of God, but Jesus had passed on the heritage to the apostles. And as a result of that inheritance, you are the inheritors of the vineyard. You are now the owners and the occupiers and the workers in the vineyard, all of us together. So it's moved from the first reading to the chosen people who, in a sense, squandered their responsibility to God and to each other, to us who must not squander our responsibility to God and to each other, because we are the inheritors, we are the church. We have been given the keys, in one sense, to unlock the kingdom. Now, whether we choose to do that or not is entirely up to us. We, in that sense, choose our destiny. The trouble is that we get a little bit too waylaid by the woes and the worries of the world around us. When we talk of kingdom and God and relationship, we think, oh, that's all lovely. How do we put it into practice? It's a challenge. I mean, if you've ever worked the land at all or worked in a vineyard, it's a challenge as well, physically. St. Paul, in the second reading to the Philippians, he says, don't worry. Well, that's really easy for St. Paul to say. And it's really easy for me to stand up here before you this morning and say, listen, guys, just chill. Don't worry. It'll all be fine. I am not living the worries that you have in your life. I am not the inheritors of your anxiety. I do not inherit the things that you worry about, because they are particular to each and every one of you. And so let's just get a balance there for starters. It is a fact of life that life comes with its challenges. Matthew's community knew that. The people of Israel knew that. It does come with its challenges, and therefore it does cause some anxiety. Our task in this vineyard is to prune properly with the quality of our life and the quantity of our life to get the balance right so that we can live with the worries that sometimes come our way. Nobody in the church, nobody in the world is immune from worries. But try and find out what the source of those worries are. If it's news, and there's lots of negative news around, if it's news that causes you to get all anxious about the world, well then turn it off. The world will go on whether you hear the news or not. If you're looking for good news, then you may have to search a little harder, because it seems the owners of bad news have got a monopoly on what we like to hear, or what we hear, whether we like it or not. So we have to search harder. But I'm just saying that if it is news that causes us anxiety or distress, then move away from it. If it is people that are causing you anxiety or distress, then you may need to move yourself from them. You may need to distance yourself from them. It's what the first reading is about. What St. Paul says is that what we must do is firstly establish a balanced and a healthy relationship with God so that we can do that with each other. You take God out of your life and you will find that your distresses and your anxiety level will go up. If you want to know this morning what your level of anxiety is, then firstly ask, what's the quality and the quantity of your relationship with God like? If it's ho-hum, then you can bet that your anxiety levels are up here. If your relationship with God is, you feel, pretty much on target considering the struggles that you've got, well then you will find that life is a little bit more easier to live and to enjoy. If we let the negativity weigh us down, then we find that God is less in our life. That's all St. Paul is saying. So he says, fill your life with positive things, with the good things, the truthful things, the virtuous things, the noble things, the things where we can give praise, not criticism. So if we find ourselves being negative all the time, you might just want to have a look at the people that are in your life, because that's where the negativity comes from. And that's a real challenge as well, because if that negativity and that distress or anxiety is caused by your close family members, that's a real challenge. How do we do that? And I'm not saying to you, kick them out of the house, move away, sell the house and move to another country. I'm not saying that at all. There are some things in life, I think, particularly when it comes to family, where the challenge is sometimes so great, so overwhelming, that all I can do is hand it over to God. I cannot do any more as a parent or grandparent. I have given these children my love, my life, my finances. I've given them example, and they still choose to do their own thing their own way, which causes me distress. Well, then as an adult, we say, God, I give them to you. This is my gift back to you. The life that you gave me in these children that caused me worry, they are yours. I will not close the door to them, but they are yours. It means that we have to trust. And in having a relationship with God, that is probably the starting point. Trust God. That's what St. Paul says. If there's something you need in your worry, pray for it. And then be thankful. At least you were able to have kids. Be thankful and pray for it. And that prayer brings the balance back into our life. Does it remove the way that our children or grandchildren sometimes behave? It may or it may not, but at least it allows me to be upfront, honest, authentic in what I'm living in this worry. I hand it over to God. I read this thing yesterday. What's trust about in God? You don't really know until you stand before the altar on the top step and you face the altar and you say, God, I am falling. You catch me. So I came down to the church yesterday afternoon and stood in front of the altar there and I said, God, you catch me. I didn't fall. I just wanted to get myself in the zone, as it were, because all of us live with worries. We can do something about some of them, and we can do nothing about others of them. So take a check on your life. Check the quality and the quantity, as I say, of your relationship with God, and then you will find out the quality and the quantity of your ability to deal with the worries and the anxieties that come your way in life, whether it's from your family or not. It's a beautiful old Persian saying that goes something like this: the pure crystal rain, the waters of rain, come from deep, dark storm clouds. The pure crystals of rainwater come from deep, dark storm clouds. That's your weather report for this week.